We've been discovering the role of the Holy Spirit in discovering the way of peace, the same way of peace that Zacharias prophesied about in Luke 1:79, where he told us that the Messiah, when he came into the world, the one that his son John the Baptist would be the forerunner of, that he would guide our feet into the way of peace. We've discovered in the book of Romans that we have not known the way of peace. As lost humanity and the descendants of Adam, children of disobedience, that we've known only the way of walking in the ways of misery and destruction and have not known the way of peace. But that's why God sent his son into the world, so that he could go to the cross and die in our place, and that his blood shed on that cross provided for us what we could not provide for ourselves. So that now, all of those who are in Christ, they stand before God justified. That is, that we've been made right in the sight of God, not any righteousness that we have earned or deserve, but righteousness given to us as a free gift at the moment of our conversion. And ladies and gentlemen, that free gift of righteousness is the reason why that now we're on the way of peace. That is, we were not right in the sight of God, but now in Christ we are. And being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Romans 5 and verse number 1. Let me remind you that God sent his son not only so that we could be justified, but that also we can be reconciled. And that is when Christ died for us on the cross, through the blood of the cross, that God has made peace with those who believe the gospel. And that peace is the peace of reconciliation, according to Colossians 1, verse 20 and following. And that is that God has reconciled us to himself through the blood of Christ shed at the cross. That means that those of us who are separated from God, now we are in right relationship with God, reconciled to him through the blood of Christ at the cross. Those of us who were the enemies of God have now been accepted by him as his very own children in a relationship with him as our Father. He was our judge. We stood before him condemned, but now we stand before him as his children, and he is our Father, and we stand righteous in his sight. We've been justified, and we've been reconciled, and thirdly, we discover that in Christ, we have been regenerated. And that is that when God saved us, he not only justified us, declared us righteous. He not only reconciled us and brought us into a right relationship with him, but I tell you that he regenerated us, so we were reborn, according to Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5. And that is, according to that verse, you and I, not by any works that we have done, but according to his mercy, the Bible says God saved us, and by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And that means when God saved us, ladies and gentlemen, the old us was washed away, and we were made a brand new person in Christ. And that's what regeneration is. Regeneration is being reborn. That is, being born again. And that is, the old is gone, and we're raised up a brand new person with a brand new life because of what happened to us whenever God saved us. Now listen to me now. The one who regenerated you, according to what Jesus said in John 3, the one who regenerated you is the Spirit of God. And that is, at the moment of your conversion, the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you, and therefore you have the life of God living on the inside of you. Your spirit was dead, but it was made alive at the moment of your conversion. That is, that we are born of the Spirit, Jesus said in John chapter number 3. That's the new birth. That's what regeneration is. That's what the Spirit of God did in you whenever he saved you. That is, he birthed you into the family of God. He gave you a life that you didn't have before, eternal life, God's life. There's an aspect of your being that was dead that's now alive, so that you know God and can walk with God and experience God because he's living on the inside of you. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, at the moment of your conversion, you receive the life of God. And that is, you didn't have the life of God before your conversion. And that is, you had physical life, you had soulless life, but you didn't have eternal life. But when God saved you and the Spirit of God came to indwell you, now you have eternal life, the life of God living on the inside of you. And that's changed everything. That is, the old is dead and you've been made a brand new person in Christ. You received the life of God. And we discovered and have been discovering that we also are reaping, ladies and gentlemen, the fruit of the Spirit. That is, from the moment of our conversion, when the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of us, he has been producing in us certain qualities that belong to him. And that is, the Spirit of God living on the inside of us has been producing fruit. Now, we've read about this in Galatians chapter number 5, and we've been focusing on it. And that is, the Bible tells us there that the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians 5, verse number 22, that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The Bible tells us there that this is what the Spirit of God produces. This is His fruit. These are nine qualities of the Holy Spirit. And that is it, that He is love, just like God is love. The Bible says in 1 John, God is love. And I tell you, the God, the Holy Spirit, love, divine love, came to live on the inside of you at the moment of your conversion. Been living on the inside of you ever since. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. I want to say to you that also when God came to live on the inside of you, joy became a living reality on the inside of you. The joy of the Holy Ghost. Peace became a living reality in you. The Prince of Peace and the person of the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you at the moment of your conversion. That is, the Bible tells us that the long-suffering God came to live on the inside of you, and that's why He's producing long-suffering on the inside of your being. The Bible tells us here the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, a word that describes the loving kindness of God that became a living reality on the inside of you whenever you got saved. God is a good God, and divine goodness came to live in you at the moment of your conversion in the person of the Holy Spirit. God is a faithful God, and that's the reason why that when the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you, ladies and gentlemen, there is produced in you this fruit called faith. The Bible tells us here that our meek Lord came to live on the inside of you. The one that said that I am meek and lowly in heart came to indwell you in the person of the Holy Spirit when God saved you. You've got meekness living on the inside of you if you've been regenerated. That is, if you've been born again because of the Spirit of God who lives in you. Now, the last aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is what we've been spending some time on. And that is temperance. And the reason why we have is because we've discovered that this is really important. Not that the others are not important. But in the context of this passage, temperance becomes very important. It's a word that means control, as you probably already know. It's talking about the control that the Holy Spirit brings into your life. He doesn't just bring love into your life. He doesn't just bring joy into your life. He doesn't just bring peace. He doesn't just bring gentleness and goodness into your life. He doesn't just bring long-suffering. He doesn't just bring faith into your life and meekness into your life. But He brings control into your life. And the idea seems to be this, and that is that He brings our flesh under His control. And He's the one who begins to dominate and control our life so that our flesh, our old sinful nature, no longer is in control of our life. Now, this is really important because if there's one thing that'll mess us up, it's our flesh. It is our flesh. Our flesh is the open door to the influence of the world. And that is the world, the ungodly world in which we live, is able, ladies and gentlemen, to influence our lives and impact our lives through our flesh, our old sinful nature. And I'm going to say to you that our flesh is the open invitation for the devil to find an area to build a stronghold in our life as well. And so if there's one area of our life in which we are really vulnerable, it is in the area of our flesh. And so the first thing that most of us want to think about is learning how to control our flesh. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason why that God had to give the law in the Old Testament, and that's the reason why we have to have laws today. And the reason why is because humanity has a fallen, sinful nature, and our tendency is to be so selfish and so self-centered and to want our way so bad that we'll infringe upon the rights of others and even commit crimes and do things that are wrong to get our own way. As you know, we have to do, we have to pass laws. And the reason why we have to have laws is to control the sinful nature of humanity. The reason why God had to give laws in the Old Testament is because we're so fallen and sinful, ladies and gentlemen, that and we have to have laws to control our sinful flesh. But I'm going to say to you that God has given us something that the law could not do. God has accomplished what the law could not do in when He put His Spirit to live on the inside of us. Those who are indwelt by the Spirit of God really can experience control over their flesh. The law was not able to do that. As a matter of fact, the law just stirs up the flesh. And that is, you take a little child and you set him down in the middle of the room and said, you can play with all of these things over here, but not this one thing over here. And listen, their old flesh is drawn towards that one thing that you said they can't play with. The law stirs up our flesh. But I tell you, when God came to live on the inside of you, when you were regenerated, God did a work in you that truly now enables your flesh to be controlled. That is so that it doesn't dominate your life anymore. And it is the Holy Spirit, His life, His fruit, that is the work of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. He can do what the law could never do. The Holy Spirit is superior to the law. Now that's Paul's whole point here in the book of Galatians, because in the book of Galatians, there is a group of people that are trying to put these new believers back under the law. And he's trying to teach them, no, that would be a step backwards. Those of you that have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, you have something greater than the law when it comes to living the Christian life. That is, having begun in the Spirit, that is, you were converted by the Holy Spirit. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to finish out living out the Christian life in the flesh? That would be his question earlier in this chapter. And so there's this battle between the flesh and the Spirit. And he's telling them in this chapter that when the Spirit of God comes to live on the inside of you, he's able to do what the law cannot do and bring your flesh under his control, so that the flesh is no longer dominating your life. Now, you and I have been trying to learn a little bit more about this, and as we have, we've been discovering that those who are wise are those who experience control over their flesh, according to the book of Proverbs. We've discovered that those who witness oftentimes use this idea of temperance in their witnessing, according to what Paul did with Felix in Acts 24. We discovered that whenever you and I are teaching the word that we teach, we've got to teach about temperance according to Titus chapter number 2, where Paul told Titus to teach the men to be temperate. We've discovered, ladies and gentlemen, the work that we need to be doing, that we need to be doing in the area of temperance. In other words, the Bible says in 2 Peter 1 that you and I need to be diligent or working hard at adding to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. We need to be cooperating with the Holy Spirit, working with the Spirit of God, working diligently with the Spirit of God in His desire to control every aspect of our life, including our flesh. We've discovered some key words in doing that. And that is, if you and I are going to bring our flesh, if we're going to allow the Spirit of God to bring our flesh under control so that we can be real winners for God. Remember now, 1 Corinthians 9. And that is, just like a runner in a race and a boxer in a ring, if you and I are going to be winners in the Christian life, we've got to have our flesh under control. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:25 that every man that striveth for the mastery, that is, for the best, to be the very best in a sport, is temperate in all things. And even so it is with the child of God. If you're going to be a winner for God, that is, if you're going to be in the center of God's will and do what God wants you to do and be what God wants you to be, then according to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, you've got to keep under your body and bring it into subjection. You've got to bring this flesh under control, but not at my control. That is, I've got to bring my flesh under His control. That is, under the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, there's key words in doing this. One of the key words is the word danger. And that is, you and I need to understand how dangerous it is not to have our flesh under control. We looked at 1 Corinthians 10 and we discovered that Paul's example for us is the Israelites, listen to me now, who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until they died off. An entire generation, the generation that came out of Egypt, that were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that came through the Red Sea, that went to Mount Sinai and received the law. Listen, that generation of Israelites never got to enter into the promised land, but died in the wilderness. And the reason why is, according to 1 Corinthians 10, they lusted after evil things. They followed the desires of their flesh. And it led to destruction and danger. And that's the reason why I need to find out, and you do too, about what this temperance is all about. I need to find out how to bring this flesh under control, under the control of the Holy Spirit. It's dangerous not to. You say, how do you do it? Well, the second word was the word deprive. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 13 and verse 14, not to make any provision for the flesh. Don't provide it anything it needs in order to be able to control your life. The flesh desires self-centeredness and sin, so don't give it any of that. Say no to your flesh. Deprive your flesh. Just say no to your flesh. The word deprive. And then we've been working on this, the word death. And that is, if you and I are going to have victory over our flesh, then we must, according to what we read here in Galatians 5 and verse number 24, that our flesh must be crucified. The Bible says in Galatians 5, 24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That is, the flesh has been put to death with all of the affections or love and all of the lust of the flesh. Everything that the flesh loves and lusts after must be put to death. Now, that's what happened whenever God saved you. And that is, he put your old man to death. And you became a mortician, remember? That's the reason why that in Romans chapter number 8, that's the reason why that in Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 5, the Bible says to mortify your members which are upon the earth. And it gives us a whole hit list of things we need to mortify. There are some things that are dead that you need to make sure gets handled properly, like death needs to be handled, like a mortician handles a dead body. And I spent some services talking to you about that, about how to handle what it is that God has put to death. There's another key word I want you to focus with me tonight on. It's the word direction. The word direction. Galatians 5. The Bible says in verse number 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these, that is the Spirit and the flesh, are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. We'll pause right there for a moment in our reading. Galatians 5. And that is this contrast between the flesh and the Spirit is being drawn here for us. And that is, and Paul is explaining to you and I that the Spirit and the flesh are going in opposite directions. He's using directional language in this passage. He's using the word walk. And when he uses the word walk, he's saying that you're going in a direction. That's what we do when we walk, don't we? When you start walking, you're going somewhere. You're going in a direction. You're going to something. You're going towards something. You're going away from something. And you're headed in a certain direction. And he uses that word walk there so that you and I will know that the flesh and the spirit, ladies and gentlemen, are going, they are in the opposite directions of one another. And if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh because of the opposition that exists between the spirit and the flesh. There's opposition that rages between the two. Now listen to me now. You're going to be walking in one direction or the other. And there is a battle that goes on in the life of a child of God, a warfare, spiritual warfare, a battle that goes on to try to get you to go into one direction or the other, either the direction of the flesh or the direction of the Spirit. Now, Paul describes this battle that you and I are going through in verse 17, where he says, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you were. Notice in verse 17, he writes here about the Spirit, about the Holy Spirit. That is the third person of the triune Godhead that lives on the inside of us. That is, since you received Christ. And Paul established the reality of that fact in Galatians 4, the previous chapter, and verse number 6, where he says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And that is, at the moment of your conversion, when God made you His child, listen to me now, the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you. You've got somebody living in your heart right now, the Spirit of God, living on the inside of your heart, the indwelling Spirit. And that's who he's writing about here when he says the Spirit and the flesh are lusting against one another. He's writing about the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of your heart. And when he writes about the flesh, he's writing about the same thing that you and I have been talking about. He's referring to our sinful, fallen nature. That part of us that we were born with that is corrupted by sin. That is, that causes you and I to desire selfishness and sinful activity. You and I were born with a fallen sinful nature that loves sin, that lusts after selfishness. And before you were saved, you lived according to the desires of your fallen nature. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2 that that was the direction of our life. You say, what direction was I going in? Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 2. It says, in times past, you walked. There's that directional word again. And here's how you walked. You walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the prince of power of the air. That's the devil. The children that now worketh, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So what was the direction of my life? I'll tell you the direction of my life. I was walking according to the world. I was walking according to the enemy, the devil. And I was walking according to the lust of my flesh, and you were too. That's the direction of our life prior to conversion. And that is that we're just doing what the world has shaped us to do. We believe what the world has shaped us to believe. A world that is under the influence of the enemy, the prince of the power of the air. The devil had his hook in us. The world had its influence over us. And the reason why is because of this flesh, this sinful nature that we were born with that's within us. We were walking in the wrong direction. According to the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's the direction we were going in prior to our conversion. And then all of a sudden, God began to deal with your heart as he did with mine many years ago. You realized how lost you were, separated from God, and how sinful you were. And God brought you to a point of brokenness over your sin. And you repented and turned to Christ. You surrendered everything to him and received him and trusted in what he did. At that moment, the Spirit of God came to live in your heart, and to take over your life. His purpose is to control every aspect of your life. So that it's no longer the world controlling your life. It's no longer the enemy, the devil, controlling your life. And it's no longer your old flesh controlling your life. But now it's the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, that's dominating your life. Well, here in verse 17, the Apostle Paul tells us that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. The word lust means to desire or to long for. And he's telling us here the desires of the flesh or the direction of the flesh is opposite of the desires and direction of the Holy Spirit. The flesh desires one direction for your life, and the Holy Spirit desires another direction for your life. The flesh desires one thing for the believer, talking to you children of God, while the Spirit of God desires the complete opposite of what the flesh desires and purposes for your life. These are contrary, the Bible says, one to the other. They're opposite of one another. They're in opposition to each other, according to the Word of God. So what Paul is telling us here, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the Spirit that indwell us are opposite of one another. You've got two opposing forces living on the inside of you, and they are at battle. There's a battle that is going on the inside of you between the Spirit of God and your flesh. A battle. Spirit of God wants to take you in one direction. The flesh wants to take you in another direction. Let me describe to you the direction the flesh wants to take you in. It's described right here in our text. Look at it, Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Here's the direction the flesh wants to take you in. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which means this isn't the whole list, but Paul said, I better stop. I'm going to run out of scroll here. More than that. But this is a sampling for you. He said, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The works of the flesh. You say, what are they? Adultery. That is, here's the direction the flesh wants to take you in. And that is, take you in the direction of adultery. That is, a married person engaging in sexual activity outside of their marriage. That's where the flesh will lead you to. Into adultery. It'll lead you into the area of fornication. The word fornication is talking about any kind of illicit sexual activity. It's from the word porneia, from which we get pornography. In other words, any kind of sexual activity that doesn't line up with what God intended for it to be. And that is between a man and a woman in marriage. And then he uses the word uncleanness. The word uncleanness describes moral impurity, a filthy mind, a filthy attitude. It probably is descriptive of the defilement, the mental defilement of sexual sin. And then he uses the word lasciviousness, which means unrestrained living. That is, it's talking about unbridled acts of indecency, unnatural, that is, sexual behavior that goes beyond nature, that goes beyond what's natural. Now listen, this is the direction the flesh leads you in. It leads you into all kinds of sexual corruption. If you follow the direction of the flesh, that's where to lead. Well, say it again. If you follow the direction of the flesh, that's where it leads. It leads into all kinds of sexual corruption. He goes on and he describes sort of what we might think of as the spiritual aspect of the flesh. And that is that he says here, idolatry, the worship of idols. Listen, those who are following after the flesh, it's not that they don't worship, they do, but it's idolatrous worship. That is that we begin to worship something other than the true and living God. Maybe we make a God up in our own mind. Maybe we pervert the scriptures to make up our own God. Maybe we allow other things to come between us and God. But if you follow the desires of the flesh, you'll replace God with something else. You'll replace God with something. It may be something material. It may just be money. It may just be things. But listen, instead of God being the one that's the focus of your life, the affection of your heart, it'll be something else that's the focus of your life and the affection of your heart. The flesh will lead you into idolatry. The word witchcraft is used here. And that is, it's a reference to the use of drugs for the purpose of experiencing a religious trance in this day especially. It's a word that comes from the Greek word pharmakeia, from which we get the word pharmacy. It's the use of drugs for purposes of engaging in a trance that they would use pagan religious rituals in that day. Witchcraft. You know, drug use can be beneficial for the purpose of trying to produce better health. But it also can be misused. It can also be abused in harmful kinds of ways. And in Paul's day, that was going on apparently, and they were using drugs in a way to put people into trance in their idolatrous and immoral worship. They were using it for that purpose. And by the way, they were using drugs to try to produce abortions and for poisoning and other things in that time period as well. That's what this word means. That's what, you follow the flesh, and that's where it leads. That's where it leads. It's the reason why we have a problem with drug abuse in our day, isn't it? It's the reason why we have a problem with sexual immorality throughout our world, and it's evident everywhere around us in our society. And that's the reason why that maybe you battle with it in your own heart, in your own mind, and in your own thoughts, because there's this battle between the flesh and the spirit. Not only that, but if you keep reading, you'll find out there's all kinds of problems that develop between people in relationships. Notice he describes hatred in this passage. Hatred. That is this hostility and animosity towards somebody that's been growing in your heart to the point of desiring something bad to happen to that person, not ever wanting to have anything to do with that person. You can get to the point if you follow the flesh. If you follow the flesh, you can become full of hate on the inside. Not only that, but he mentions the word variance. The word variance is a word that refers to strife and rivalry between individuals. Folks that are always in strife and always in competition with one another. Now, in our world today, I know this is strange to most ears that are listening, but in our world today, little children are raised up to believe that everything is competitive. Everything. You've got to win. You've got to find somebody to compete against. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that is part of our fallen world. And listen, it goes right along with our fallen nature. It's the flesh. It's the word variance. The word emulations is a word that speaks of jealousy, having jealousy in your heart towards someone, to desire what somebody else has so that their blessings cause you to feel anger towards them because it's theirs instead of yours. So word emulations. If you follow the flesh, you'll find yourself not only potentially full of hatred, hating others, but also full of variance, and that is competing against them, but also emulation, jealous over them. And then there's the word wrath. The word wrath is a word that describes the outward expression of anger, losing your temper, flying off of the handle, and that is in fits of rage. Wrath. There's the word strife. The word strife describes a self-centered ambition that seeks the glory and promotion of yourself at the expense of others. There's the word sedition. The word sedition describes the kind of conduct that results in disunity, the formation of various different kinds of factions. It involves backbiting and gossiping and politicking that turns people away from one another and into various cliques, seditions. People being divided up into groups that are in competition with one another. Our whole political system is built on that. Our whole world functions like this. This is how the flesh operates. Heresies is a word that means literally just to choose. But the idea behind the meaning of the word are those who choose to align themselves in one particular direction in opposition to others. Sometimes it's used to refer to doctrinal heresy, those who choose to believe that which doesn't line up with what God's word has revealed. They make a choice to believe something else. The word choose implies that, but it's not just doctrinally. Listen, when it comes to following after the desires of the flesh, you'll find yourself being caught up in seditions and choosing to align yourself with one particular group in opposition to others. The word heresies. There's the word envies. Envying, ladies and gentlemen, is kind of like jealousy. It's kind of like the word emulations we looked at a little bit earlier. Except it's talking about the expression of it. And that it's the desire to deprive something of somebody they possess, to take away from them what belongs to them. I want what they have. Envious of them. The Bible says that envy is the rottenness of the bones. It'll destroy you from the inside. It flows out of our flesh. If you follow the desires of the flesh, this is the direction you'll go in. This is the direction the flesh wants to take you in. The old sinful nature of man. You say, Pastor, I see all of this. What about murderers? It's just what it means, the premeditated, deliberate killing of another person. Although, listen, throughout our community, each day, somebody's life is taken. You say, why? It's the flesh. And drunkenness, and being intoxicated. Reveling is describing wild partying, associated usually with drinking and involving immoral sexual activity. In other words, it's describing this scene that our world seems to revel in. It's not difficult to see all of these things, these 17 different things that are called the works of the flesh, playing themselves out in our own society. And again, he says, in such like, in other words, this is not an exhaustive list. This is just the beginning of the list. But it gives you a good idea of the direction the flesh will take you in. Now, the Bible tells us in verse 21, Paul reminds us, as he's already told us in other passages as well, and he has, and that is that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, those who are living this kind of a lifestyle are not going to heaven. Now, the reason why they're not going to heaven is because they're demonstrating this truth. They're demonstrating by their lifestyle that they haven't been regenerated. Never been born again. Listen, if you've been born again, you've got the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. And if the Spirit of God is living on the inside of you, guess what He's producing in you? Temperance. And what is temperance? It's the Spirit of God operating in you so that you're no longer dominated or controlled by your flesh. Now, that doesn't mean that a child of God could never commit one of these sins, but it's not your lifestyle anymore. I'm not talking about perfection tonight. I'm talking about direction. This is not the direction of my life. I may stumble in one of these areas once in a while. I might get a little bit envious, and God the Holy Spirit had to work me over on the inside, but I don't live there very long. I got to get right soon. And even so it is. If you've been born again, listen to me now, you got a new life source, and that is it. The direction of your life is not the direction of the flesh anymore. If the direction of your life is the direction of the flesh, then you've never been born again. Because the fruit of the Spirit is the opposite direction. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. The fruit of the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says here, is faith, meekness, and temperance. That's the direction the Spirit of God's going to take in. And these two directions, as you can tell, are completely opposite of one another. You can't go in these two directions at the same time. You just can't do it. They're completely opposite of one another. So inside the child of God, you got the flesh that wants to go in this direction. And you got the Spirit of God who wants to take you in this direction. The direction of the flesh, verses 19 through 21. The direction of the Spirit, verses 22 and 23. There's this battle that goes on. It's such a battle that Paul says in the end of verse 17 that you cannot do the things that you would. There's that struggle in your life. And Paul describes that, not doing the things that you could, that you would, in Romans 7. This battle with the flesh. Let me read it to you real quick, and then we'll get back to our text. You're going to relate to this really well. Romans 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now listen, this is Paul. He said, there's not anything good in my flesh. And that's true of you as well. Your flesh is as rotten as it was the day God saved you and before you got saved. There's not anything good in our flesh. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. So I want to do what's right, but I end up not doing it. But the evil which I would not do, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I to do it, but sin. My old sinful nature that dwells in me. He said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So I got this battle in me between good and evil. He goes on to continue to describe that battle, this war within the realm of his own body between the old nature and the new, good and evil, the flesh and the spirit. Now listen, you've got that battle on the inside of you as well. Now Paul tells us how to decide the battle, how to win the battle. As a matter of fact, if you continue to read in Romans 7, you'll end up in Romans 8. And when you get in Romans 8, you find out the battle is found in the work of the Holy Spirit. The victory is found in the work of the Spirit in the life of the redeemed. And that's what we find here in our text in Galatians 5. Let me show it to you and then I'll quit. Let's look at it. Galatians 5. Again, in verse number 16. But I say then, here's the command. Walk in the Spirit. And you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's the answer. How could it be that I could overcome the desires of my old nature? I know the direction the flesh wants to take me in. I just read it. But if I go in that direction, I'm entering into danger zone. That kind of sexual corruption will destroy your life, your marriage, and your relationships. That kind of hatred and variance and emulations and jealousy will destroy everything. That is, I don't want to go in that direction. I don't want to follow the desires of the flesh. So how am I going to control, how am I going to bring all of that under control? The Bible says here, to walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. The idea is this, you get to decide which direction you're going to go in. Are you going to go in the direction of the flesh? Or are you going to go in the direction of the Holy Spirit? It's your decision. You say, well, I don't know what, how do I decide that? Well, when the flesh pops its head up, when the old man, the old sinful nature pops its head up, and you find yourself desiring after, lusting after those things that you know are of the flesh, then you've got to say no. You got to say no to your flesh. And the reason why you have to say no is because you're a good mortician. You don't dig him back up. The old man is dead. You don't go digging up those old things that God has buried in the graveyard when he saved you. So you got to say no to your flesh. But listen, it's more than saying no to your flesh. You've got to say yes to the Holy Spirit. You've got to walk in the Spirit. And if you'll walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. If you just try to say no to the flesh, you're going to give in. You're not going to get victory. You've got to learn how to walk in the Spirit, because it is the Spirit of God who brings temperance into your life. He's the one who's able to control the desires of your flesh. So how do I walk in the Spirit then? If that's the answer, that is, if walking in the Spirit is the answer to winning this battle over the flesh. If I'm going to do that, how do I walk in the Spirit? Let me just say to you that you've got to walk with God by getting alone with God in prayer on a daily basis. You've got to get alone with God and pray and seek Him and spend time with Him. You can't just talk about it, you've got to do it. You can't just play at it, you've got to be serious about it, about experiencing God in prayer, about getting alone with Him and not just saying prayers, but getting everything surrendered to God in prayer on a daily basis. And walking with Him and drawing near to Him and experiencing His nearness, learning how to walk with God in prayer. Let me just say to you that also, you've got to obey the Word of God that's been given to us by the Spirit of God, as well as the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And that is, when God, the Holy Spirit, is revealing truth to you, you got to obey what He says. To walk in the Spirit means that I've got to do what He says to do. If He walks in that direction, guess what I got to do? I got to walk in that direction if I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And the way that He wants us to walk is revealed to us in this book. It's revealed to us by His promptings, by His speaking to us, by His working on the inside of us. So I've got to start obeying what He's saying. It's not enough just to hear. I've got to do what the Spirit of God is saying to do. I've got to draw near to Him in prayer. I've got to obey His promptings. I've got to learn not to grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. The Bible warns us not to grieve the Spirit of God, not to quench or put out the fire of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is like a fire that wants to consume you, that wants to take over your life. That's what a fire does. Listen, if you start a fire and just leave it alone, it'll consume everything. It'll grow and grow and consume everything. And when the Spirit of God that's living on the inside of you is like a fire. If you'll allow Him to, He will control every part of your life. But listen to me now, the way that we don't allow Him to is by quenching Him like you would put out a fire. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let Him control you from the inside out. If He's living in you, He wants to dominate your life, including your flesh. So don't quench Him and don't grieve Him. But instead, abandon yourself completely to Him. Yield yourself completely to Him, and you'll begin to learn what it means to walk in the Spirit. If you start walking in the Spirit of God will bring your flesh under control. He'll do it. So that you can have victory over the desires of the flesh, so that you can experience temperance in your life. Now listen, that's the only way you're going to be able to walk in peace. If you're going to walk on the, you're going to walk on the way of peace, then you've got to learn what this idea of temperance is, of the flesh being under the control of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, listen, you're not going to be full of peace. Not going to. You're going to find yourself, listen to me, child of God, you're going to find yourself thinking about the peace of the past. You're going to find yourself remembering the day that you got saved and that wonderful peace that lived on the inside of you, how wonderful it was, and asking this question, why isn't it that way anymore? I'll tell you one of the reasons why. And that's because you have not learned what it means to experience the temperance of the Holy Spirit. You got to walk in the Spirit. And you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Flesh always leads to misery and destruction. It's the Spirit who leads to life and peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your truth. I pray that you would work it into our hearts. That you would challenge your people, Lord, that we would learn clearly what it means to go in the right direction, the direction of the Holy Spirit that He's leading in, and to follow Him. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us tonight, for the time we've had together. Would you bless everyone here at every point of need, those that are lost, that they would be able to come to Christ and receive Him as Lord, and your people, God, that we would learn what it means to be filled and controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.